2 Thessalonians 3:18. That'll be, it's kind of our main scripture. This is a word I've been hearing in my spirit all day. When you have it, say amen. I'm going to read it to you. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm going to try to take my time. Amen. In due season you shall reap and faint not. Have anybody ever heard of a fainting goat? Well, I've seen them. They just faint. You walk up on them, suddenly they faint. You spook them, they faint. Right now we're having a problem with the saints of God fainting. And what it's telling me is we're not reading our word. Not only are we not reading, but we're not taking heed to the word of God. You know, Jesus said trials and tribulation. Everybody say trials. Trials. Now, what does a trial sound like? Does that sound like cake and ice cream? Tribulation. Does that sound like a trip to Disney World? Say, it sounds funny, but I'm for real. Trials and tribulation ye shall have, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world already. When you read the life of Jesus, he had many obstacles, not only from his brethren, but from his own people. Many disappointments. So I'm here to let you know tonight that there's going to be some disappointments. For you young women that are coming on, young men, there's going to be some hard days. One of the biggest misconceptions is when you come to Jesus, everything is going to be all right. Now, trouble is just beginning. But the word said trouble doesn't last always. But more than anything that we're going through, you have to remember the word. The last few weeks, I've just been rereading Proverbs. And it talks about listening and obeying the word of God, listening to the instructions of your father. See, it said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, you know, you shall reap and faint not. What that lets me know is that long as I keep pushing, long as I keep plowing, long as I keep pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling, I'm going to reap. It's some benefits to this. Amen. We're living in a day now. I can tell you this because I've had two cousins, one about 26, one about 80, in the last 2 months commit suicide. Commit suicide. These are real issues. So when I come, I try to give a word, give the word from God. And this is what he keep been telling me all day. Be not weary in well-doing. Young people, y'all are going to school. I don't care if the kids talk about you, if they talk about your shoes, your hair, your height, your color, whatever. Keep going because you're going for God. You're going for yourself. Amen. Don't give in to the peer pressure. But then also what God gave me was Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind and the renewing of your spirit, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. The will of God is that we keep pressing on. See, the word tells us that we have not resisted unto death. When you look in the book of Hebrews, you see some of the apostles were burned. Some of them were sown in two. All kind of way. Jesus was mutilated, beat, tortured, in anything that you could think of. He suffered. He was spit on. He was lied on. He was talking. Whatever you're going through, somebody has already went through it. And the Bible said you can endure because there are other brothers that are already going through. Even now, we got people suffering in the Philippines and in China, all for the word's sake. Amen. But be not weary in well doing. Keep doing good. Keep saying yes, ma'am, no, sir. Keep serving the Lord. Keep reading. Keep praying. The problem is we don't realize we're at war. When we watch TV and it shows we're at war now, I think, with Korea. When you're at war with Russia. We've been at war with Pakistan and Afghanistan. Well, we're in a spiritual war. And in this war, Satan wants your mind. The mind is the devil's battleground. That's what he wants. He wants your mind. He wants your peace of mind. But if you put God's word in it, greater is he that is in me, that is he that is in the world. I don't care what's going on. I don't care if I got money, no money. I don't care. Everything do. I don't. Your health falling down, whatever it is, greater is he that is in me. So you got to put this in you. That's why I love to hear Pastor Ford speak. You got to put this word in you. If you do not put this word in you, and if you do not believe the word, it's not going to work for you. You got to have something which is the word of God to fight Satan with. Amen. He wants to destroy not only your church, your home, your family. He's after you. The Bible says he goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when you study that in the Greek, it says the zetoi, your chief opponent, your arch enemies. He wants to engulf you wholly. And there's a scripture in Jeremiah which says, let me become a bone in my enemy's throat. So whenever I'm going through and the war is like that, Satan is trying to swallow me. I said, Lord, let me become a bone in my enemy's throat. I'm like Pastor Cricket. I like to watch National Geographic. So when you watch National Geographic, sometimes you can see where these big snakes have tried to swallow big catfish. And guess what? He dies because of the catfish so big and his fins come out. Well, I'm not going to die. Amen. But I'm going to become a bone to me. It's not no easy win. See, when we're in Christ, this ain't no easy win. We got to get out of the pity party. I was riding with a pastor yesterday. He was going through depression. He felt like giving up. His family is under attack. His finances is under attack. Now, doesn't that sound like more than just him? I imagine a lot of us, I'm not going to say all, but a lot of us can raise our hands up. Satan is not playing. The Bible said he has not but a little while. But I'm not glorifying him. I'm trying to give you a setting. So when I talk about him, I'm not glorifying him. But I'm trying to let you know he is not playing. He's on a war path and he wants you. He wants your son. He wants everybody. He wants that baby over there. He don't care that we've anointed him and prayed for him as a prime target. I got another candidate. I got another man on the hit list. But that's why we got to be on our job. We have got to be praying. And not just for me and mine. Too many Christians are selfish. You're only praying for yourself. And y'all, I'm not getting on to you, but I've been at war, a real war, all year. And the Lord said we got to divorce unhealthy ties. We're having some people with us that are hindering us. We got to get in the word. We got to yoke up with people that are praying for real. I've been with probably Pastor McRae and Brother Johnny Daniels since 94. So people think I just joined the church. I've been fasting with them since 94. Now they didn't know. But me and Brother McRae and Brother Johnny Daniels had always associated together. You need to associate with people. They don't have to be the same color. They don't have to go to the same church. They don't have to be in your same house. But you need to be in touch with people that can get in touch with God. Amen. Be not weary in well-doing. Only what you do for Christ will last. Don't give up on reading. Keep reading His Word. What you understand, hold true to that. Love. Never give up on love. It said love covers a multitude of fault. Love covers a lot of sin. Amen. Believe in healing. Whatever God has said, it'll work. Whatever He said, it's going to work. It's effective. Amen. I don't care what it look like. See, a lot of times we keep going by what stuff look like. But the Word said the darkest hour is right before the day. Every time I watch the Olympics, I think about one of our runners. And I'm not going to call his name because some of you know him. I was a sprinter. He was a distant runner. He was one lap from winning the meet of the champs. That's the biggest state track meet in Arkansas. But he had lapped so many people, he didn't know if he was first or last. He just dropped out. And every time we watched a 1,500 meter run or something like that, I said, that's what my friend did. He just dropped out. But he was winning. See, you're winning. It may not look like it. And when you're at war, you're going to be hurt sometime. You're going to be cut. You're going to be shot. Y'all heard me say some of this stuff the last time. But this is what God is telling me. We are at war. Amen. This is your State of the Union address. Just in case you've been sleeping, because the Lord has been telling me, wake up. Wake up. The church is asleep. People are dying left and right. Commend suicide left and right. And I feel like Ezra in the 9th chapter where he said he cried and he pulled out his beard. I've been crying for a few weeks. He pulled out his beard and he pulled out his hair out of his head because we doing stuff that we know we shouldn't be doing. We sitting here playing games, playing church, and God is tired. I don't make this up. We play in church. We just feel like we can come anytime we want, do we want. We're going through formalities. People need to be healed. People need to be delivered. And we started playing games. We're doing our agenda, but not God's agenda. See, Romans 10 said, brethren, God's desires for Israel, or you can say me, a victory, that we might be saved. For a bad record, they have a zeal of God. A zeal means you're going through the acting. It's too much acting in the church. Too much playing in the church. Too much prejudice. Too much of this and too much of that. And we can't get where God wants us to go. We can't heal because we're scattered. We can't heal because we're so in discord. We're not going to be an effective church. I don't care what you put on your church. I don't care what your agenda is. Till you do it God's way, it ain't going to work. We was watching track last night. And the guy in the 1500K, his heel caught the line. The inside of the line. They disqualified him. See, there's a lot of things we keep saying in church is okay. God said it's not okay. I don't care what nobody said. Read your Bible. Everybody got a Bible. Everybody got a phone. Read your Bible. Read your phone. Because it said in 2 Timothy 2:15, I'm not going to get in trouble for Jared. He's not going to get in trouble for me. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's what it says. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. See, the Holy Spirit come to lead, to guide, and to teach into all truth. Not some truth. He come to teach us, to guide us, to help us. But it said, be not weary in well-doing. Keep studying your word. Keep bending your knees. Keep talking to the people in the fish market, Walmart, wherever you are. Talk to the people about how good God has been to you. Amen. I told you, you're going to get it hot off the press. Amen. Amen. Remember your training. One of my biggest pet peeves when I'm working is because I pay for most of the tools. So I teach people how I want my tools, how to clean the tools, or whatever we're doing on that particular day. That's one of my pet peeves. And the Lord has trained us in His Word. Amen. And so there are some ammunition that He has given us that if we'll just take heed to it, hold on to it, it'll get us through these tough times. But we won't make it plain. I'm going to give you one more story and I'm going to be moving to a close. I was a part of my home choir one time. You know I can't sing. You can tell by the way I talk. But I blend in. Anyway, while the choir director was teaching the soprano, the altos be talking. While he's teaching the altos, the tenors will be talking. So when we started trying to sing the song, it sounded a mess, and everybody didn't know their part. So I'm going to tell you what was said, and I'm going to let you make the call. God understands. What do you think? Somebody tell me something. Did God understand? I can't hear you. It's not understandable. You're talking. If you were listening and trying and messed up, that's understandable. What am I saying? That's what the church is doing right today. A lot of stuff we're doing, we make it understandable. We say, oh, you just, I'm not judging you. As a matter of fact, the Bible said we're going to get to do a lot of that if you read your Bible. But a lot of this, what we call judging, I'm not judging. If I'm in here smoking dope and Brother Jerry say, hey, we had to put Pastor Gaskin out tonight. He was in the front smoking dope. Were you judging him for the sin? That he ain't judging me. He's got a duty. See, babies? You need to get out, sir. And he ain't got, come here, brother. This is how we want to do it. Oh, Brother Jerry, you suck. Brother, I don't mean no harm, but you can't smoke dope. No. Hey, Jerry, you need to get out now. Right now. I'm not even repeating myself. See, God has given us some authority. We think we got to be old wimpy, punkish Christians. God is tired. You're not going to get nowhere with your children. Oh, just Johnny, take out the trash. You can ask mine. We're not going to keep talking about this over and over again. I can't even bless you because you won't let me bless you. I want to bless you. You keep crossing my hands up. Just do some things without me asking. Then daddy can bless you. You know, we're going to give him a bed and a place to live. But let me be able to do some other things. Amen. But what I'm trying to get at is we keep saying a lot of stuff here. We're making a judgment call. No, I'm making a righteous call. If you study your Bible and understand God and what he wants, what he desires, you can make a call without feeling guilty. Because last week I was meditating, the Lord, I said, Lord, everybody feel like you're judging. When you say this, you say that. He said, this is what I said. The Son of Man came in the world not to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. He didn't come to condemn you. He gave us all a way out. He gave us all a way out. But what he was saying is, you can condemn yourself by your own actions, by your own mouth. That's what it tells us in Proverbs. Amen. But greater is he than he that's in the world. God is bigger than any of our situations. He's bigger than any of our dilemma. He's bigger than whatever situation at home, in church, in the world. And God is dependent on us. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're his mouthpiece. There's a lot of issues going on right now. Oh, I don't want to get involved in that. That's not politically correct. I'm going to tell you something if you read your Bible. The same way God looks at me and Pastor Cricket is the same way he look at the policemen. It's the same way you look at the politician. And all three can lie at any time. I can be a lying preacher. You can have a lying police. And you can have a lying politician. But you need to pray. It's time to pray. Don't be weary and well doing. It don't matter what it looked like. It said by one man sin came into the world, but by one man he abolished it. Jesus, you know, one man. You can make a difference, but we need to be praying diligently. Amen. And just as everything is cranking up and it looked like it's getting worse and worse, the Bible said it's going to be that way. And 2 Thessalonians said it was going to be a great falling away. See, that second chapter precedes this verse here in the third chapter. In the second chapter, he talks about you won't know the times of the season. The son of perdition is going to get worse and worse. It's going to get worse and worse. And when they cry peace and safety, don't believe that. It's going to get bad. But you, the children of light, we don't have to let this overtake us. Amen. We're the children of light. So we're expecting some things to come. Amen. But we want to be caught still praying and believing and trusting in God. Amen. Okay, I'm going to finish reading a little bit and we'll close. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. I'm going to read a few verses out of Corinthians I'll be through. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by my manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man conscious in the sight of God. Amen. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. What we're speaking is the truth. We're not handling the word in deceitfulness or craftiness. Some people won't preach things that I'm saying because they want money. They want a handout. Or they don't want to offend nobody. I would rather you be mad at me, maybe not talk to me, tune up to me, than your blood on my hands. See, the scripture said, I don't want your blood on my hands. Amen. We'll use Brody, for example. He's a little boy, 5 years old, and he's playing out there in the street. If I go get him, or even if I have to sling him out the road, even to keep myself from being hit, I've saved him, and I saved myself. But if I left him out there, that ain't my son, that brother Stacy boy, he should have been paying attention. I'm still just as guilty. We don't know if his wife called, pastor called, who called. He got distracted for a second. Yet and still, I had the power to get him out the road. That is primarily the same way your spiritual life is. And God has a problem because he said, woe unto them that wink at sin. It don't mean we come around policing you. We all make mistakes. It said, all have fallen short. Not y'all. All have fallen short of the glory of God. So it's nothing about policemen, but there are some things that we can help. There are some things that we can improve on. And that's why he says, we've renounced hidden things of dishonesty and of craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. I don't want to be caught up here playing with God or playing with God's people, because your lives, your soul is just like you're standing out there in the road to me. When I'm before you or talking to you, this is no playing game. It's too many people in the church leaving out of here, going home, contemplating suicide. And I'm tired because I don't know if we're supposed to be sensitive to know. But I want to make sure that before anybody leave out of here tonight, that you know God is the way. Jesus is the answer. If you don't have confidence in talking to me, there ought to be somebody in here that you could talk to, say, look, I'm trusting you. You can't talk to everybody. They learn that quick, young folks, in the church. You cannot talk to everybody because they talk just as much as the people out there. Ask God to give you a person that you can confide in that won't go tell your business. whether you're young or old, ask God to give you somebody that don't talk too much, because when it get back to them, they'll quit the church. Because Sister Richardson told Brother Jerry went and got a coke while the pastor was preaching. What has that got to do? He a grown man. Maybe he was that thirsty. See, that's what we're doing, grown folk. We ain't got time for that. Remember that lady? We ain't got time for that. We got to be about kingdom business. It's kingdom warfare. And Satan is tripping us up with all this little old mess. We ain't got time for that. I don't know how we got there. But it don't cost you nothing. But anyway, find somebody that you can trust. Find somebody that you can believe in. Because despite popular opinion, read, I'm not even going to go into it. Read 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, Luke 24, Revelation 6, Revelations 22. These folks taking out themselves, you ain't going nowhere. You leave in a bad condition for eternal worse condition. And the preachers are not telling the people. Matter of fact, let me say this. I'm going to be through. One of the pastors asked me, if he did, he thought about killing himself. I said, Pastor, I'm going to tell you frankly, you bound to hell. You're supposed to know better than what you're saying. Let's do it like this. What you're saying is that God don't have the power to deliver me out of my situation. And he's a deliverer. If he can depart the Red Sea and millions of folks walk through, what is your light bill? What is the problem with your wife or husband? If it is just that bad, maybe we need a recess for a little while from each other. You're saying God can't fix it, that he's not a deliverer, that he's not Jehovah Jireh. Matter of fact, I don't have to go through all the names. I'm going to give you the name I use, Jesus. What you're saying is Jesus can't do it. Because it said, in him is all power and all three of the Godheads. Everything in earth and under the earth moves at his command. So what you're saying is, Jesus, you don't have faith in him enough to fix your problem, your situation, your dilemma, whatever word or adjective you want to use. He can do it. I got too many stories to tell. Where he's protected me, probably 80 electrocutions. I'm talking about like 800 volts, thousands and some volts. My son walked off a building last year, 20 feet, no crack bones, nothing broke. Even now, being able to work, taking chemo, you don't have no problem. You have problem, but I can fix it. That's what I'm telling you. Be not weary and well doing, because he is a fixer. And it says he have all power, not some power. And listen to whoever he send your way. Sometimes we're where we are because we won't listen to somebody. God can be and gave somebody a word for you. Amen. God wants the best for you. That's why he wants you to hold on. That's why it said, to him that endured to the end. Every time you read in Revelations chapter 1, chapter 2, and 3, he said, to him that endured to the end. Now, I'm not a miler, and I'm not a quarter miler. Whenever they made me run the quarter mile, I was done. And if I ran the mile, oh, I'm done for 2 days. But the 100 to 200, I'm your man. Put me in, coach, you know. But this is a race that's not given to the swift nor the strong. We all got to be marathon runners in this. He said, to him that overcome, you know, I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to give you a robe. I'm going to give you a match. He said, endure to the end. Amen. All we have to do is endure and do what God tells you to do. God may not be telling you to do what he's telling Brother JP to do. You obey God. Hear God for yourself. What's wearing out the saints is we're trying to do what he called somebody else to do. I'm going to do what he told me to do. I'm going to obey my leadership, but Just because he told you to go to the 24th Street every 2 days, he didn't tell me. But I made calls and said, Sister Rich, I want to go with you this week and help pray or whatever. You can be led by the Spirit. Amen. There's nothing wrong with helping. And the last thing I want to say is we got to yoke up together. JJ, you said we're tighter than pantyhose, two size too small. That's what we got to be. We're going to have to yoke up. When you hurt, I hurt. You cry, I cry. You know, whatever you're going through, it should affect me. Oh, that's just Sister Gaskin crying again. You know, I'm gone, child. Why is she crying? Amen. Be not weary in well doing. You shall reap in due season. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't quit the church. Don't commit suicide. Don't kill nobody. Don't do none of that. If you can't do nothing else, just do what the prophets did. Don't pull your hair out. I don't have any to pull out. Me and another brother I'm looking at. But just sit down and meditate until God speak to you. Amen? Because sometimes we can get self in trouble when we just react. When we just react. So it's better just sometimes sit down and don't say a word. I remember one time T.D. Jakes said that. He said, sometimes people going through, you don't have to say anything. Just sit beside them. Just let them know you're there. Amen. But God loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants to see all of us make it. Amen. And we all need each other. We're all dependent on one another. I can't do it by myself. Today, I might be down. I need an encouraging word from you. Tomorrow, you may be down. You may need an encouraging word from me or a prayer from me. But one thing that I know that God has shown me is in order for us to be effective, we have to watch who we're yoked up with. And what I wanted to preach on was unhealthy ties, but he wouldn't let me do that one. But weariness, that's what's wearing us out. Tiredness, get you some rest. Hey, man, I'm closing. I'm talking now. Get you some rest. I need some rest. But get you some rest because tiredness, remember the prophet Elijah? He had killed 400 men. He had walked over the Jordan a few times. He had brought a couple of dead boys back to life. But listen, what was her name? Jezebel. I'm going to kill you this time tomorrow. He started running for his life. He forgot just how good God had been to him and how he delivered. So get you some rest because tiredness can make us not think clearly. Amen. May God bless you and keep you.